All right, we're going to start with Zero Touch HPC nodes.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm Ümit, and I'm here with Leon. We are here to talk about our journey to Zero Touch HPC. We manage scientific computing for a diverse group of researchers. And as our scale grew, our old ways of managing the infrastructure by hand didn't really keep up. In 2020, we presented our work on running OpenStack on top of, HPC on top of OpenStack here at the FOSDEM. And while the payload, the Slurm cluster, was automated using the OpenStack's orchestration engine Heat and Ansible, the underlying infrastructure was a different story. And as the infrastructure side was managed manually by hand, the knowledge about that infrastructure was just in the heads of a few individuals, and there was no reproducible way of rebuilding the underlying infrastructure. This is the heart of our talk. The journey takes us from the HPC hardware racked into our data center to the running jobs on a Slurm cluster, ideally with no human intervention or just little human intervention. Our first step in this journey starts with the hardware, once we receive the hardware, in NetBox. NetBox is a popular open source data center infrastructure management, or short DSIM system. It can help track and manage both the physical layer of a data center, such as data center floors, racks, PDUs, patch panels, as well as the physical devices, such as storage systems, servers, switches, and so on. In addition, it provides IPAM functionality, as well as the ability to manage all kinds of connections, ranging from simple power cables to network connections to circuits, aka internet uplinks. We currently track over 300 servers across 100 racks and 2,500 cables. If it's not in NetBox, it basically doesn't exist in our infrastructure. NetBox also provides custom scripts that allow you to, that we use for all kinds of automation, such as drift detection, import and export functionality, and programmatic access is provided by a GraphQL and the REST API. Before NetBox, we did our rack management in Excel. You can see an example on the left side. On the right side, you see the same racks in NetBox. The nice thing is you can click on any of these servers and you will get a detailed view of the server with the network cards, the cabling to which top of the rack switch these are cabled, and maybe assigned IP addresses. So NetBox doesn't live in a vacuum. We use custom drift checks and scripts to ensure data consistency across all our vendor appliances, like, for example, Lenovo X-Clarity, Dell OpenManage, and our IPAM system, which is Infoblox. These scripts automatically verify serial numbers, MAC addresses, and LLDP neighbor information with our software-defined network to ensure that the physical reality matches the reality that we have in NetBox. We also use them to import from those appliances. For example, we can import MAC addresses for all the network interfaces of all the servers that these appliances manage. And then later we can use those DHCP addresses together with IP addresses to provision the DHCP reservation in our IPAM solution using OpenTofu, for example. Once everything is stored and linked together in NetBox, it provides end-to-end traceability and allows us to drill down from different perspectives. So for example, I can search for an IP address and I see this is assigned to this certain interface on a compute node, and this compute node is cabled through two patch panels to this top of the rack switch. And on the right side, you can see the visual cable trace for our border gateway that is connected to our internet uplink via two patch panels. NetBox can also be extended with plugins. We use two plugins. One is the floor plan plugin. As the name implies, you can draw floor plans. On the left side, you see the floor plan manually drawn for a data center room. And on the right side, you see the same in NetBox. Again, you can click on the racks, and you get to the detailed rack view. Another plugin is a topology plugin. It allows basically to have a live self-updating documentation of your logical network connections in the data center. So for example, you can see how your core switches are connected to the border gateway and to the internet uplink. And if you change any cabling or connection in NetBox, this will get reflected in the interactive visualization on the right side, while in the old way, you would have to update the diagram on the left side. And this is a final example of our access layer in the campus network.
All right. So at this point, we have basically established NetBox as our source of truth, and we will later use this to provision hosts. But another thing that we need is an actual system to run on these nodes. So in our old system, we would run a base operating system and then execute long-running Ansible playbooks against them, and we would do so manually. And apart from being slow, this would also introduce configuration drift easily, and it make rollbacks basically infeasible. So in the new system, we want to be able to build an image and customize it to our needs, and then deploy this without having to run any steps manually. And this approach would have several advantages. In the beginning, we know that all images that we build this way, all nodes that are running on this image, are going to have the same initial state. Secondly, provisioning should also be a lot faster, because there are actually a lot of customization steps that we know we need to run them on all the nodes in any way, and so we can do this during image build time instead of during node setup later. Also, of course, we have all the customization saved as code, and the image is going to be reproducible. And then the images kind of serve as versioned artifacts that we can reference, and because they are reproducible and the other advantages, rollbacks should be at least less cumbersome. So the question is, how can we implement this? What we would like to be able to do is to take a base upstream operating system that we want to customize. Then our image build toolchain should be able to pick up on the distribution and the version that we are working on, perform customizations depending on that, and also be able to add any other customizations that we need. And after this, it should be able to push the image to the various endpoints that we are going to use. And the tool that we have picked for this is called Packer, and we did so for several reasons. One reason being it supports many platforms that we can use out of the box. Then, pleasantly for us, it has a configuration syntax that is very similar to Tofu, what we already use anyways. And most importantly, this supports many tools that we can use to customize the image that we are working on. So we have a short example here of how such a Packer configuration template might look like. At the very top, we define the plugins that we're going to use, and we can pin their versions. Then the first interesting block, maybe, are these source blocks. And these basically describe where the image comes from that we're going to work on, and the builder that is going to configure it. Here we have a Docker, but it could also be QEMU or many other things. Then the most interesting block is this build block here. And this is basically what defines the actual customizations that we are doing on the image. And here we have first these sources, which basically defines for which of the sources that we defined earlier the customization should run on, because there can be many of them. And then you can have an arbitrary amount of provisioner blocks. The provisioner block is what actually performs the customization. So here we have a very simple example of an Ansible provisioner that just runs a playbook without any further configuration. Of course, you have many more options there. And you also have other provisioners available, like a shell provisioner that can run arbitrary shell commands, or a file provisioner that can copy files into the image. Once all of these provisioner blocks have finished executing, we can then still run post-processor blocks, and these are used to manage the artifacts that we produce, or produce a manifest file, or in our case here, run again arbitrary shell commands. All right. Now I want to give you a quick overview of how we have implemented this image building pipeline at our site. So at the heart of this, we have a GitHub workflow that can either be called from the base repository where we keep this Packer code, or from a remote repository that then can basically contain extra Ansible files that will also be used to customize the image. Packer will then look for variables that describe the distribution and version that we are working on, and it will then spin up a QEMU VM using the respective ones that we chose. We can also do a manual invocation using what you see on the right here if we want to overwrite this for a reason. Packer will then move on to perform or to run the Ansible playbooks, and we have multiple steps here. First, we have a range of common customizations that we know we need them in any case, and we perform them without any conditions. Then we have these like distribution version specific playbooks that we will then run if they are needed. And then most interestingly, we have this remote entry point. So if we call this from a remote repository, and this repository has a directory called Packer, we can then include any files that are relevant to Ansible there. Packer will pick up on them and then perform also the things that we define there. At this point, we are nearly finished. We just need to make sure that once we boot this image up, it's going to look like a fresh Linux installation. So we clear out some logs, we set the machine ID to uninitialized, things like this. And then the image is actually finished. We just need to make sure that we take this properly and then upload this to wherever we need it. And now this all sounds very great, but actually this still has a kind of problem, and that is that not all of these customizations we can or should run during the image build time. If you think, for example, for tasks that involve secrets or any tasks that depend on the role of the node in the Slurm cluster, for example. When we then inspected our reusable Ansible code, we noticed that most of this is held in Ansible roles, and many of these, or most, have tasks that fall in this category. But there are also many tasks that we could apply on all the nodes unconditionally. So our solution to this was to split the Ansible roles into two parts, install and configure. And the install tasks are the tasks that we perform during image build time. Basically, those are all tasks that are common to all nodes, installing most packages, setting up some directory structures, things like this. And the configure roles, the configure tasks, we are going to then run when the node first boots, and these are the tasks that are done to specialize the node toward its exact role, basically. So, and these also are tasks that involve secrets, things that we don't want to have in the image, basically. In the top right, you have a little example of this, where we include a role, SSSD role, but we only include the install tasks here. So this is the simplest example of what you would see also in our image build pipeline.
Thank you. So now that we have a custom image, how do we deploy it? And we use two infrastructure as code tools to declaratively define and deploy our HPC system, OpenTofu, that's a fork of Terraform, and TerraGrunt. We won't go too much into technical details, but I want to highlight some of the ways we use these two tools. We define reusable infrastructure components in OpenTofu and store them in an infrastructure module catalog that's basically just a Git repo. These are building blocks or basic building blocks in a component library that allow downstream users to define all kinds of hard infrastructure, not only for the HPC use case. And these modules encapsulate common infrastructure pieces such as networks, clusters, server. For example, the network module will create a network, IPv4 subnet, an optional IPv6 subnet, and a router using the OpenStack provider. Although OpenTofu provides, or modules provide a way to abstract these common infrastructure pieces, it doesn't really provide a dry way to customize and parameterize it across different environments. For example, dev, staging, or production. For this reason, we use TerraGrunt, which is a wrapper around OpenTofu Terraform. It's basically a code generator that fills this niche by allowing you to define units and stacks that reference these corresponding Terraform modules, and this makes it possible to keep the code dry. So here you can see our HPC TerraGrunt Git repo, where we would define virtual and bare metal HPC clusters across three environments, and TerraGrunt stack HCL file references this OpenTofu cluster module and allows it to customize the flavor and the number of nodes and the OpenStack cloud where the HPC set, server cluster should be set up. Now that we explained which orchestration tool we use to deploy the HPC cluster, maybe also let us briefly explain how it is actually done. For that, we use OpenStack's bare metal service Ironic together with NetBox. So in NetBox, we define custom export templates that provide the YAML that Ironic expects to onboard the bare metal nodes. Then Ironic manages the power state and can deploy our custom image using the various drivers that it supports, ranging from legacy PXI and DFTP methods to all the way to modern Redfish and virtual media. This is an example of this YAML for one of our four-way blade servers. because IRENA can manage chassis and node assignments, and we model these information in NetBox. We can just include them in the YAML. So you see in top, there's a chassis definition with the four nodes. There's one node defined with the BMC credentials and some meta information that is used to connect the flavor to the bare metal node, and then information about to which top of the rack switch port this compute node is connected, because our OpenStack integrates with this SDN, so the network service in OpenStack can provide connectivity during deployment and operation.
All right, so at this point we have built an image and also we have spun up the nodes, but now all these nodes are currently in the same state, the exact state that we defined in the image, and now we need to make sure how we specialize them. So what we did for this, the problem is how can we do it without having to do anything manually, right? So what we have introduced here is what we call the Ansible initialization system, or Ansible init in short. Props to this Gopher Stack HPC, they have given us the initial idea for this. So basically it's very simple. This is just a systemd service that will run on the node's very first boot. It will look for a file, and if it doesn't exist, it then goes on to run an unspecified amount of Ansible playbooks. And what it really needs to do is that it runs these configure tasks that I mentioned earlier. So this is what we need to do to really specialize the nodes in the way that we need, and also apply tasks that are dependent on secrets. So one question here is, how can we specify which roles should be run by this service? And we have two mechanisms for this. Either it finds an inventory directly, and then it just uses this, or it queries metadata that it can either get from a config drive or from the curl metadata endpoint. And then it looks up the metadata, it sees it should run these certain roles, and it does so. And if there are no problems, it will then run the Sentinel file, and on subsequent boots, this service will not run anymore, so that we are not doing this needlessly. To be noted here is maybe that actually all of the playbooks that we use to customize these nodes, we already bake into the image when we build it, so we don't need to rely on an Ansible pull mechanism or something to do this. So now what I still want to quickly touch on is how we do manage secrets injection into these nodes. And there are basically two thoughts here. First, we don't want to have any long-lived credentials for the nodes to access any vault applications. And secondly, obviously, we don't want to have any secrets baked into the image directly. What we would like to have is that each node on provision gets a secret that it can use for a short time to access the secrets that it needs to configure itself. And then after a short time, like 1 hour or something, this credential should no longer be valid. So what we are doing is that we proliferate a subset of our big organizational vault into a vault with secrets that the nodes need to configure themselves. And upon provisioning, for each node, we create a unique credential that this node can then use to access this smaller vault that has the node secrets. And that is basically the system that we are using here. So with all of these methods combined, if everything is correct, you should then be able to spin up a cluster without having to intervene manually. And what remains for me is to then thank the HPC team at the Vienna BioCenter. And apart from this, if there are any questions, we are happy to discuss them with you. And thank you for coming to this talk.
Okay. So the question is if we are aware of Werewolf and why did we go with this instead of Werewolf. We are aware of Werewolf, but it's a bit of based on, we wanted to use OpenStack for more like a software-defined data center, and because we already had this in place and we have experience or expertise, we decided to use it also for the bare metal or for the HPC part. Next. Yes.
Yes.
So the question is, if we redeploy the nodes whenever we have a configuration change, it's a good question. We haven't really decided. We now can basically have immutable node images where we just build a new image, redeploy the node, and everything works. I think it's kind of a trade-off, a question of trade-offs. If it's a simple configuration change, you could roll it out via Ansible, but then you have to make sure that the image also contains. We haven't really thought about this completely, and we haven't decided on it yet, but these are valid points, yeah. Yes, so the question is, why don't we use the automatic enroll method of Ironic to first enroll them in Ironic and then in NetBox or import them in NetBox? It's a valid approach. The only problem is we need to, so because of our SDN network, it's not that easy, and we anyways need to put them in NetBox and at least have the DHCP addresses, the MAC addresses of the BMC addresses to create a DHCP reservation so that they get IP addresses. There's ways around this. That would be a valid approach also, but whenever we get hardware, the first thing is we onboard this in NetBox, so we have documented it also for cabling, and so we use it as a source of truth for everything. I don't know who was first, but... if we support multi-tenant in OpenStack, basically, we are the only tenant, so you could argue maybe it's an overkill to use OpenStack, but we use it because of the integration with our SDN, and so we don't really support multi-tenant because we as the HPC team are using it alone, kind of. So if you're doing any changing to the ACI during the provisioning. So we also drive some of the Cisco ACI's fabric side configuration for the bare metal nodes through NetBox using Tofu. And also because OpenStack Neutron integrates with the Cisco SDN during deployment, the node gets plugged into a provisioning network, boots the image, installs it, and then replugs it into the tenant network. So it's fully integrated. If the templates are available in GitHub, which templates exactly? The we have it in an internal Git repo. It's not really polished yet. Eventually, we would like to maybe make it public. The only problem is it is a bit specific to our system with the Cisco SDN because of contracts that you have to consume between. So it might not be really usable for other people, but we can publish it as a reference, basically, yes. yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you could even have Tofu do changes in NetBox. Sorry, how do we handle changes in NetBox? Currently, you change it in NetBox. You could theoretically drive NetBox through Tofu. Then you have multiple states. You have a state in Open Tofu for NetBox, and then have from NetBox. I mean. Yes, I think at some point you need to change it. Where you store the change is always like a question. We use the NetBox as like the source of truth.
But can it roll back changes, for instance?
If it can
roll back changes.
So NetBox tracks has an audit trail, so you can see every change, even programmatic change, and you see the changes. I'm not 100% sure if you can roll back. What NetBox implemented as a plugin is versioning like in Git, where for example, imagine you restructure one of your data centers. Back in the days, they set up a second NetBox and tried it out and then applied it. Now you can fork basically the NetBox data, apply the changes, and then commit them. So there's an option, but I think it used to be a plugin, maybe they integrated it by now. It's a good question. This is currently also work in progress, so we are not as far to experience this in real life. How do we deal, because you see node failures during boot and configuration. How do we deal with them? We haven't really any experience yet because this is still work in progress. We are not, so this is maybe a caveat. We are working on this. We don't have this in production. It's the plan. If you have any ideas or if you have any tips how to deal with this, we can maybe talk later and so we can exchange. Sorry.
For the live networking, I guess, to your ACI, presumably that can work to something else.
Something else?
Like NVIDIA NetQ or other similar.
So if the networking service of OpenStack that currently talks, in our case, to the Cisco SDN, can it also talk to other networking?
I meant specifically the live diagram that was updated.
It's a good question. If this can there are tools to scrape your network system and put the data in NetBox. We haven't looked into those. I guess for really big networks where it doesn't make sense to manually manage all the cables and connections, that might be a useful approach. Also, maybe for brownfield or brownfield. Systems where you add NetBox. Good, time is up. Thank you very much for coming to the talk.